Welcome to the Perfectly Sane Show, episode 641. I am Chris, as always, joined by Tony.
I just came back from a conference in Las Vegas where many people learned many things. Several people learned that if you're in the middle of the desert, you need to drink water or you will pass out from dehydration.
Holy shit.
how are the temps out there?
The 116, I think I saw a couple times.
Yeah,
it's hot.
I mean, now nothing's actually cool this summer. Yes. I believe the current talking point is this is going to be the hottest July on record in history, or since they started tracking it.
Yes.
That is always a fun stat. I guess you are all going to die, but you know, corporations gonna corporations.
Earl is here too.
Coming to you live from the indictment capital of the world.
Were there more indictments?
Yes.
They met with him today. I think the actual indictments haven't come down yet, but...
Oh, no, there were three more from the DC one, because apparently, what was it? They tried to... Let me see if I remember this correctly. When it came out that they were, you know, trying to subpoena video footage, they tried to delete it off the server and audio log. So there is two for obstructions. There's a new defendant in the case. So I think it's now three people being tried. And I forget what the other thing was. But like, yes, he got three more and then another person was added to the roster. So it's a party here in Mar-a-Lago.
Like, at some point, they're going to have to, like, stick him in a cell so he stops doing stuff. Like, when did they get to that point?
We're trying to go. Hurry up!
Well, I mean, before the trial. Yeah. Like, if he's literally out there destroying evidence, it's supposed to, like, they can't have him out there.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
You ever run a campaign from prison?
I mean, the sad thing is, apparently, that is not illegal.
No, there's nothing that says, like, you can be impeached while you're president for doing stuff, but I think there are certain states where if you're a felon, you can't be on the ballot.
Yeah.
Well, man, does the party want to lose? Do they want to lose? Because she ain't going to win like that.
What are the odds of them changing those rules, anyhow?
Before November's election, probably high, like for those Republican states that have these laws on the book. They'll be like, and it's ridiculous, right? They'll just be like, oh, we want everybody to have a chance.
They can't do that though, because that allows a whole bunch of people into the election who they don't want in the election.
Sure. Like but that's always how
they saw the light
all the time.
Yeah, it's
like, wait, why are so many black people voting now? We try to get rid of them all. What is going on?
Yeah, that's the weird thing. It's like you can get it. You can't vote if you have a felony, but you can run. Just seems very backwards.
Right.
You should always be able to vote. Like, that's my opinion on it. I know that's not the law in a lot of states, but you should always have a vote.
Yes.
But Jeff is here as well.
Also burning up on fire.
Oh, we're going to call Jeff X from now on.
Awaiting prison.
Oh, you're waiting prison. is it it's been hot there in Illinois, dude. Joe?
Yeah. I'm pretty sure it's by you guys too, right?
Oh yeah.
It's starting to get like it's been warm. It is now getting,
it was
hot.
97 here today.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, I think it felt like 100 and something here, or I don't know. It's like, cause it's always like the temperature's like 80 something, but with the dew factor and the this and the dad and the who's it sounds like the Little Mermaid song. But like, yes, because I only learned last week about what they call the wet bulb test, which is the temperature at which I think a bulb wrapped in something would. Basically the temperature at which your body can no longer process sweat and you would suffocate to death because your sweat would just not evaporate.
We're getting there.
Yeah.
We're in the 90s here. I think it was like 95 today, and maybe we'll break 100 tomorrow.
Yeah, it looks like we're in store for the whole weekend of over 90 degrees, so over 95 degrees, actually.
I know Chris is excited.
Absolutely not. I'm like, I hope that rain shows up on Saturday and breaks the heat a little bit.
Yeah, I think for us tomorrow will be the worst, but enough of the Weather Channel.
Yeah. Because we have quite a bit to talk about, actually. Some stuff happened this week. Some games came out. Well, a game came out. Played some other stuff. But Earl and I watched a little bit of Sony's new television show.
Ooh.
Twisted Metal on Peacock. I only watched one episode. Earl has watched more than that.
Yes, I've watched four so far.
Earl's inoculation to bad television and films is
it 10 hours? Not 10 hours, 10 episodes. I didn't actually check. I was surprised when the first episode ended and the second one
just started,
and I was like, I'm good. I'm gonna wait. I'm like in the middle of like trying to clean up dinner. And stars Anthony Mackie, some other people. I forget
her name. The early 80s from Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yes, and Encanto. Beatrice something, I think. Give me a second. I will tell you. Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Stephanie Beatrice. She is in it. Somebody else is the mayor of New San Francisco.
Oh yeah, you should know that. Nev Campbell. Sydney Prescott.
Yes. Nev Campbell. And then there's like a bunch of other people here. The Thomas Hayden Church.
Samoa Joe is Sweet Tooth with Will Arnett's voice.
Yeah.
I think those are
the ones we really kind of encounter in the first episode. You've probably encountered more characters at this point, but
I will say, I guess this isn't a spoiler for the format. I was surprised at what this show is. It is kind of a which is also really weird that it's a show that came out all at once. It's very much kind of a case of the week type deal, where like they get into some wacky hijinks and you meet a different part of this society. Like the first episode is when he meets that what they call it insiders. There's outsiders and there's insiders, and yeah. But it's New San Francisco. The name of the show.
I guess the world's gone to shit. That's actually how it starts with a voiceover of like Anthony Mackie explaining the world has gone to shit and society is split in between basically the civilized folk. They are in the cities and all the criminals have been kicked outside to rule themselves lawlessly. And then there's people like Anthony Mackie who are runners. I think they call him a milkman, or he calls himself a milkman. Basically, he runs supplies between the cities.
From what I gathered, a milkman seems to be a thing in that universe. It's like a general term for like the runners. I will be honest, I'm not the biggest Twisted Metal fan, so like I'm sure there's stuff that like I will just completely miss in regards to that stuff. But he's the runner. He's the main character. And I will say this much. When it first started, I was like, oh, I'm going to hate him so much because he is so annoying in that first episode. I do think it evens out eventually. I am also kind of happy that it wasn't like a lot of post-apocalyptic shows or whatever. Like the main character is like some tough, gruff person who's been hardened by time. And it's, you know, it's nice to kind of see somebody who isn't. He's more, you know, comedic and more sarcastic. Yeah. But like that first episode, it was kind of grating, like the first half of it, because it's mostly just him talking to himself.
Yeah, and like the, it's like him in the car, and like he'll be talking about shit that's going on around him, or he like some guy jumps on top of his car and he presses a button and a gun comes out of the top of it and shoots the guy in the ass.
Yeah.
And then blood splurts down, but he has just put on these new windshield wipers, so he's talking about them. There's an extended gag with he doesn't know how to parallel park. Yeah, there it's a little off. That first one. Does Stephanie Beatrice actually talk at any point in time?
Yes. She's okay. Become, I mean, as far as I can tell, she's the second main character. It's her and Anthony Mackie's character, who I was going to, his name is John Doe in the show because he doesn't know who he is. I think that's
John Mackie. Got it.
I think that's one of them in the first episode where he's like, he doesn't know. Like, he has like a picture of his like parents that's like burnt, and it's that weird shape he puts in the front of his car. But like, he doesn't know where, when he was born or his parents or anything like that. So he doesn't know his name. So he just, he's either referred to as the milkman or John Doe. And then she gets a name later on as well when she does start talking. Yeah,
because that first episode, she is completely mute. She doesn't say anything, and it's she in Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Like, she has so much personality, even though like she's kind of sarcastic and like, but there is like life and personality in her character that, and this is just like, okay, we're just not gonna have her say anything. That's a choice that was made.
Yeah, but no, they do fix that. Like I said, in the first four episodes or so, each one is kind of a standalone issue episode. Because the first one, you know, like you meet that inside the new San Francisco. The second one focuses on Las Vegas, I think is what they call it, which is Sweet Tooth's territory. The third one, you kind of meet the cops. And the fourth one was, I think my favorite so far. It's a traveling city. Essentially, it's just a bunch of people who have, like, rigged out a ton of, like, not a ton, like, four or five, like, trucks that they kind of, they're always on the move, and they kind of, like, you know, they have beds and bars and stuff on it. And it's kind of nifty to see that pay out. And it looks like the next one. So it's like, yeah, you go to town. You meet these strange people, you get in trouble, you get yourself out of trouble. Cliffhanger, rinse and repeat so far. But honestly speaking, one, the fact that I watched four episodes today, I think it is a lot better than I don't want to say a lot better. It is it's more tolerable than I originally thought it would be based off of the trailers. And I think the trailers did a very poor job of trying to sell that tone.
Yeah, I mean, the first extended clip we saw was like, what, John and Sweet Tooth, like in a casino, and they're karaokeing, like, while Sweet Tooth is like holding his head up against a slot machine. Like, it was just, this is bad. It doesn't really play into the cars with guns. Like, that immediately, the outset of this, like, there are cars with guns.
Yes.
It doesn't look cheap. It looks fine. Like,
yeah, it's also kind of funny because I think, like, I mean, during that opening chase sequence, like, one of the things that gets thrown onto his car is a copy of, like, the original Twisted Metal.
That was dumb.
Yes, because I'm like, wait, so is Twisted Metal a thing in this universe? Like, okay, so you got the idea from the game, but then how do you explain Sweet Tooth? Or whatever, but yeah, right. That was like a dumb thing. And I don't know if is this the first or second episode? I don't want to spoil it, but like, to start his car, he has a cheat code, and it's like L1R2.
That was not in the first one. So.
Okay, and I'm just like, wait, what the hell is it L1 in your car? But he says it out loud, so I'm like, okay, so I'm assuming, yeah, it was dumb, and that's the stuff that's like, okay, I know you want it to be a nod to the fans, but like, this doesn't make any sense in the context of this show or this universe, other than like, wink, wink, nod, nod to the audience. So,
Yeah, like the whole PlayStation Twisted Metal, and it's the original PlayStation game.
Yeah,
that hits it. It and it's like the long box, so like the original PlayStations. So those big CD cases. It's like this doesn't, unless like he smashed into a retro game store. This doesn't make any sense at all. Like why would this hit his car? And it's just like, oh, we need to remind you that it's based on a video game at all turns. It's like, you don't really have to. You just set up the world and go with it. It's fine.
Yeah.
I like that they're half hour. They're about a half hour each, I think.
Yeah, so far I think they've been about 30 minutes, 29 or so, roughly. Yeah.
And that's good, because I think that like, as you said, like that first episode's a little bit annoying. It's not terrible, but it is like, I don't know if I could do 2 hours of this straight.
Yeah, that's kind of why I stopped. I'm like, oh, okay, this is fine, but too much of a good thing, I guess, or like too much of the same thing, because again, like the humor does not really episode, it's just that again, he gets money to pay off of, and then you everything I guess is more interesting because each one is like setting up something different, so I'm kind of curious to see like on the back half when all that stuff starts coming together.
Well, that's Twisted Metal. It is on Peacock. Evidently, the entire series is there. The season one. I don't know if there's going to be another season, but everything in the series is up there on Peacock right now, as of today. So go watch it if you have any interest. I guess it's not the worst thing I've ever seen.
Ringing endorsement. Sign me up.
I will say, it being a half hour, it makes it way more like appealing for me to finish this
out. I can put up with this for half an hour.
Yeah, like yeah,
I mean, I watched more than I did of Heroes.
It's like going to the dentist. I can do this for half an hour.
Yeah.
It also helps that someone tends to be quiet for TV shows.
Yeah, there's not a whole lot going on entertainment wise TV in TV land, and there might not be for a while. So, all right, that was Twisted Metal. Pikmin 4 also came out. We know Jeff has played a bunch. Tony, have you played any Pikmin 4?
I have not played any of it.
Okay. I have only played like a half hour, so. Jeff, tell us about Pikmin 4. Boy.
You guys, you had one assignment.
I had two assignments, and
I didn't. Know I had we to play more assignments.
Jagged Alliance 3. Sorry, Pikmin.
Pikmin. It's
Pikmin.
Yeah, I am a big fan of the series. I've played them all. I don't know where you guys land on it. I don't think we've really talked a lot about Pikmin before.
We've talked about 3. I don't think we've ever
the other ones, so it's not really a.
But it's really been quite a long time since Pikmin 3 too. I know it recently came out on Switch, right? But. It's 10 years old at this point, Pikmin 3. It came out on the Wii U 10 years ago. It came out 3 years ago on Switch.
Oh, and you guys said you'd never played 1 or 2?
I think I played 1. I don't think I played 2. I didn't get very far in 1. But 3 is the one that I have the most
experience. 3 is the only one that I've played. So.
Okay.
And hey, Pikmin, I played that.
Okay, I never played that. This to me kind of feels like a refinement of Pikmin 2, which I think Pikmin 2 was a lot of people's. It feels like it was a lot of people's favorite one. Pikmin 2 had the cave system, like so you'd be doing a level, but then there was like caves within the level that you could go down and keep going further and further down.
Okay.
This has that too, and a little more friendly than Pikmin 2's caves were, because Pikmin 2's caves were like all or nothing. Like, if you were like 10 levels deep into a cave and you fucked up and whatever, like, that was it. Like, you're fucked. Like, here, you can make it, you know, however many levels deep, and you could decide, I'm done with the cave for today, and I'll be back. And then you could, like, take all your Pikmin out, and you could go back to the level that you were in the cave. So that makes it a little easier, you know?
What was the reason to go deep into the cave? Just, like, extra stuff, or...?
Well, yeah, I mean, this is also, I think, going back to Pikmin 2 more than anything, which, like, the game is all about just finding treasure. So... just finding more treasures. It's like basically a level within a level.
Just like an extra loot thing.
The setup for this one is that, like, there was a explorer who, I want to say it was Captain Olimar, who crash landed on this planet, and then they set out, like, a rescue corps, like, you know, like, fucking 7 people to go save him, and then they crash landed. Yes. Now you are going to save everybody again. And so it's kind of like a similar setup to all the games, but it's just funnier because it's just, like, stacking on top of what the other games were.
And the way it starts out, too, so it, like, kind of, like, has this animated background. Like, just black, like, brown and white, where Olimar is telling you this story. And then you take control of Olimar and the dog. And, like, that's where, like, the tutorial level kind of shows you, like, how to grab Pikmin and stuff.
You're playing as Olimar there, right?
Yeah, and I was a little confused. I was like, is this just, like... Are we retconning everything that happened in the old Pikmins, and it's just like, right. now we're gonna be like, Olimar crashed and, like, Pikmin 3 happened, but now Pikmin 4 just picks up in this house, but it's a little bit different because, like, you create your own captain to be after that level, or you're a rookie. You're called the rookie, but.
Yeah, and then, you know, again, you said you only played a half hour, like. The tutorial kind of goes on forever. It's very talky.
I got to the... There's like a... I don't know if this is the cave that you're talking about. Like, you find the dog. You use the dog to, like, pull a weed out. And that gets you to another person. And then you have the dog dig a hole. And, like, in that hole, it's like, oh, if you dive in here, it comes out on this side. And that was where I stopped, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it takes a while to get, you know, for the game to just, like, you know, take its hands off the wheel and let you go play a day of Pikmin. But once it does, I think this might be my favorite one. It's hard to say. I really like them all. And yeah, but I think this might be... Pikmin 1 has always stayed near the top for me, or... at the top, because I like the 30-day thing, but this is just a very chill experience, and all the things that they've added to it, I find the dog to be really fun and useful, and, you know, he's cute and all that, but he has, like, this charge move that you could do, and he has a, you know, so if you charge at, like, an enemy with all your Pikmin on you, like, all of Pikmin will fly off the dog and attack the enemy. He's got a little jump. So it's just, like, functionally, he feels good, and he helps the controls feel better. And, yeah, he's cute. The levels are cool. I don't think I don't know if you've even gotten to, like, the first level. It's like you're, like, in a park. There's, like, you can see, like, there's, like, a giant park bench and
no,
it's,
like, I literally, like, I dropped down and they were like subterranean something, and that was where I stopped. So,
it's not really like it's not like reinventing the wheel here. It's another Pikmin, but, like, all the changes that they've made, I think, are, like, kind of smart and. Yeah, I'm enjoying. I think I'm near the end. I guess the only thing I would say is, like, it does feel a little smaller in a way there's not a whole lot of different levels. Like, there's, honestly, for the longest time, I thought there was only three levels, and they're big and they're sprawling and there's caves all over. But unlike Pikmin 2, where those caves would go like fucking 20, 30 levels deep, the deepest cave I think I've done is like six levels. Like, you know, I've done most of them at this point. But yeah, there's a fourth level, spoilers, and it's pretty neat. I won't spoil what it is. But yeah, I'm in that fourth level now, having a blast with it. But I see my time running up on the game. I feel like I'll be at the end of the game by like tomorrow or very soon, right? So I'm just interested to see, and I've not looked up what it is, what the like
post game is.
Yeah, what is there to do?
Very curious as well, because like all the reviews are like, oh, Nintendo told us we couldn't talk about it, but fans of Pikmin 1. And I'm like, okay, but what is it?
I'm sure you could look it up, but I'll know soon enough. I wanted to see what the surprise is, and I'm curious whether like it'll keep me playing beyond this main story. But yeah, I don't really know what else to say here. It's great. It's Pikmin. Like I'm very much. I don't know. I'm sorry if I sound like I'm like not super enthusiastic about it, because I very much do like it a lot, and it's the type of game that, like, again, I found the first like 2 hours of it very boring. But once it like opens up and lets you play Pikmin, it's just like a very relaxing game that's very easy to like lose hours to. Like, I had yesterday off. I think I played it like all day. I must have played at least like 5 hours of it, because it's just very, again, like, it's very easy to just relax and keep going.
So just push through the first like 2 hours or so, and then
yeah, it's just the game. Like at the end of every day, it always has to like beep 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 beep. Like if they're talking, you're like, come on, like. But like it's just very bad for the first 2 hours, because it like wants you to learn all the things, and I just don't think it was a well thought out tutorial. Like, it was neat how like you like what you played through, like the very beginning, it kind of just throws you in, and it's like, oh, you're Captain Olimar, and it's showing you how to do things. But like, boy, they act like it's like the most complex game ever, and just go on forever. Like, me, just so you know, you could do this, and then like 2 minutes later, they'll tell you again. You know that you could do this. It's like, dude, I got it. I can press the start button and look at the fucking controller layout. Shut up! Like,
so there's no way of turning off that tutorial stuff. It just keeps coming.
No,
back.
It's and in fact, that's one of those things that like I could see it like holding me back from wanting to replay the game, because Pikmin 1 is just like, you start off, there's a Pikmin in the ground, and you pick it, and like you're starting to play right away. Like, yeah, you're learning. But there's like a very quick on-ramp to Pikmin 1, and this is just like, make sure you know all the things. It's like, dude, I'll figure it out, man. No, I don't think you could skip that stuff. Because if there was a way, someone tell me, because I did not notice it. I had to play through all that, and it's like, yeah, I know most of the stuff, and the things that like you want to teach me, you could teach me a little faster.
Be nice if you could just like, if you play it again, if you could just skip all that, that'll be a nice. I'm sure it's not that way.
Skip to day one. Nice. I would love them to patch that. Skip to day one of. I feel like was there one other thing we were missing that's like new? The Night Expeditions, that's new. It's not really much. It's literally like. Defend this thing all night, and you know, in the morning, you know, if you defend it all night, we could extract this medicine out, and the medicine is to like some of the people you'll find, like, the are not just rescue corps people, but whatever, people are stranded there, you'll find have been like transformed, and they need this medicine to be fixed, and that's all the Night Expedition missions are. It's kind of like a, what would you call that, like a tower survival.
Like
a horde mode, but it's like the easiest horde mode you've ever played in your life type thing. Not very exciting.
The Wikipedia page says nighttime expeditions are they function similar to tower defense games.
Yeah, but it's like
really easy tower defense. Yeah.
It's like, oh, there's enemies coming from this direction, and then there's enemies coming from another direction. Now, I've not done a ton of them because there's not been a ton of these optional guys that I've rescued that have to be fixed or whatever. And I also just don't find it to be like super exciting. But yeah, like they do progress. Like it's not like you're just playing like, the same area over and over. So I would imagine maybe it gets harder. But like it's not the most exciting thing ever. But yeah, there's other things that they do that I think are like kind of neat and smart. It's like early, like, you know, in Pikmin 1, you could have 100 Pikmin out in the field. Early on here, you can only have like 30 or so, and you have to find onion expansions. So that's part of like your treasure hunting is like getting these expansions to your onion, and each one lets you carry 10 more Pikmin on the field. So, you know, things like that. Like, it's just like tweaks to the formula, but they all kind of work for me. I think that's a kind of like a smart thing there. Like you can't grow Pikmin of a certain color. Like you could find blue Pikmin, like water Pikmin, you know, whatever, in a cave or something, but you can't grow more of them until you find a blue onion. So things like that, I don't know, it really makes like some of the treasure hunting feel more meaningful because like it is. I don't know. I guess we'll probably talk more about it when you guys play some more. So, but yeah, I've really enjoyed it.
Cool. I'm looking forward to playing more of it. I mean, it looked very pretty what I played of it so far. So,
I
love that aesthetic too. Like little, like it's like Honey, I Shrunk the Kids, right? Like it's. I mean, you're like little alien in this normal sized world, so everything's like big and. I've seen so you've been posting some of the treasures you found, like pop culture references, and like that. That's all neat.
That's something I've always loved about Pikmin, because like they're finding like mundane objects that like we know what they are, but like again, if you're an explorer, you have to like, what does this mean? Like, what is this?
That's the fun part. Is like the little like, what is it?
I found like an engagement ring today, you know, like inside of a, what do they call like the thing that you put the ring in?
Box,
yeah,
jewelry box.
Yeah, and they named it Unbreakable Promise. Like I don't know, I think it's really like I found lots of like Nintendo systems and controllers. I found a like a poker chip. And they called it the Disc of Sorrowful Wisdom. the Game Boy Pocket micromanagement station, they called it. I'm sorry, I'm just looking through my... I'll throw one more out for you that I thought was funny. It was a pacifier, and they called it False Lollipop. just clever names.
Some good writing there. All right, I am looking forward to giving it more of a go.
I hope you guys enjoy it. Like Earl, are you a fan of Pikmin?
I'm not a fan of Pikmin, but it's not usually my go-to. I've heard that. I mean, I played the first one. I think I tried bits of the second one. I've just never really gone back because you know you can only invest so much money and hope you like it more.
I think two and three might be bigger than Pikmin 4, but I like Pikmin 1 a lot, and I like this one, I think, more than 2 and 3 as well. Like, I guess I don't really mind that a Pikmin game being shorter, but I don't know. There's just a charm to all of them. Like, I really love them all.
Yeah, I mean, it's a very cute game. I would actually I like the characters. I just wish it was in a different setting. Not even a different setting, just a different type of game, and that it's not Pikmin.
No. It'd be something completely different at that point.
Yes.
All right. So we've got that, and next week we're going to have that Disney Illusion Island.
This is getting a really good review, so I'm curious about that as well.
Yeah, I'm very... I thought it was just going to be like a Rayman or like, you know, New Super Mario Brothers, just a side-scrolling platformer. Evidently, it is a Metroidvania, so I am super intrigued by what that game is going to be. And, you know, I think we've all talked about the artwork on it. It's lovely looking. So, let's see what else we got here. Tony, you played more Jagged Alliance, you said?
Yes. Yes, I did.
How's that going?
It's, the more I play, the more I enjoy it. The game starts off, so you hire your mercenary team. You have like $40,000 and you hire your team. Each member of your team has like a contract for like a set number of days. So like if you're hiring a really good guy, maybe he's like $15,000 for a week.
Mm-hmm.
You hire this other guy and he sucks. And he's like $3,000 for a week. As they like level up, they cost more. And sometimes they will also try to negotiate with you. They're like, yeah, I really need, like, they'll say stupid things like, I really need to like regrout the tile in my bathroom and ask for more money. But that $40,000 goes by fast. So you're like, there's all this pressure in the early game to like, there are these like diamond mines you can liberate. So you're like throwing everything. I was like 2 hours away from having to pay all my guys with no money. And then I liberated this mine and got a whole lot of money. I don't know what happens when you go bankrupt, because like, I mean, it's basically game over at that point because you have no money, you can't hire a team. And when you can't pay someone, they leave.
It's like real mercenaries. Just like, yes. We're out. We're not.
They're like, I'm done. I fulfilled my contract. I'm good. You can hire them back later. Like you can leave and then have them come back. The flip side is once you start getting these mines, like I started off, I hired a team of four people. The problem was like my one team of four people was like moving around on the map, liberating the locations and the, you know, getting these diamond mines and saving villages and whatnot. The bad guys send out like forces to recapture the territories you've taken. So my one little squad of four people wasn't enough. But as you get more and more money, you can hire more teams. So now I have like several teams like wandering around. You can also go to these villages and train a militia. So that when they try to, you know, come and take over the town, the guys will fight back.
Nice.
So there's this kind of like strategic level battle going on. And then you switch to the tactical battles as you move your teams in into position and do cool stuff. There seem to be like different storylines in different areas. There's like one guy who's like trying to start a communist revolution in this little African nation. And he's in love with the woman who's running a brothel. And like he gives you these leaflets to hand out and you take the leaflets to the brothel and like, oh, we should put naked women on the leaflets so that people will like them more. So you spend part of the game like handing out leaflets of communist manifesto stuff, you know, with nude women on them.
Women on, nice.
It really spends a lot of time like aiming for that lowest denominator humor.
I'm not gonna lie. Like if I'm walking down the street and somebody hands me a paper with Nico, I am more likely to read it than if you just hand me a piece of paper.
That's right.
It's like, what is this thing with a naked person on it? Like,
I don't know. I'm having a lot of fun with. I'm seeing this game through to the finish. It's only like 30 hours long, so I think I can get to the end. There does seem to be a lot of world left to conquer, but the more teams I have, the easier it is to take over things. Although you kind of like start scraping the bottom of the barrel in terms of people you can recruit. A lot of them aren't great to begin with. And then after you recruit the ones that are mildly not great, then you have the ones that are just awful. There is like a level of elite mercenaries you can recruit, but you have to do certain things to get them.
And those things are very hard. So, like, I could get, like, the, you know, world-beating explosive expert or the sniper who can shoot from all the way across the map. But those people are super expensive, and they make you have reach certain levels to get them. You can also recruit people, like, through the story. Like, you'll run into people who are savable. There's one guy I met who's, like, an explosive expert who's given himself this awful concussion and taken these drugs for it that have really screwed him up. And so you have to go out and find medicine to fix him, and then you can recruit him. Because then he can start, you know, thinking and being useful again. The trouble is, like, the medicine, there's one dose of medicine, and you can use it to, like, get this village over on your side, or you can use it to recruit this guy who you're not really sure if he's good or not.
Mm-hmm.
So you have to make some of those kind of decisions.
What did you do?
I didn't need him. I can blow stuff up without him. But it is funny, if you try to use, if you're in, like, the tactical combat and you try to use explosive devices with someone who's not good with explosives, you don't really know what's going to happen. Like, oh, throw a grenade, and then they, you know, pull the pin and throw the grenade, and it goes, like, 2 feet and blows the guy who's throwing it up or something like that. Or, like, you give them an RPG, and you just, I hope it goes in the right direction, and who knows?
How far in do you think you are at this point?
I have taken over about half of the map.
Okay.
But getting to half was a struggle, but now I have, like, several teams. Most of the areas that I have that are vulnerable have significant militia presence now. So now it's like, all right, I'm in a position to conquer all of it. So I'm thinking that it'll go pretty fast. Also, the AI, I don't find the AI to be particularly brilliant. There's been a few times where, like, I'll have my entire team in hiding, and then I have on my A1 team has a sniper on the team who's, like, an elite guy. He's, like, my one elite guy that I have. And he'll, like, snipe somebody. And then line of sight in the game is, like, it's not like most games. Like, if you would snipe, then all of the enemy would know where the sniper was. In this game, if you snipe somebody, they only know where the sniper is if there's somebody who has a direct line of sight to him. They'll get alerted. They'll be like, oh my god, and they'll start scrambling around, but they don't actually know which direction to go. Which is realistic, but results in cases where, like, you'll have one guy pop into view, so the sniper will kill him. And then they start scrambling around, and then one other guy pops into view exactly where the guy just died, so you kill him. And then a third person will do the exact same thing and kill him, so you have this pile of bodies, like, in one spot. Because they just keep walking up and dying.
It's like you would think they would see the pile of bodies there. Like, I'm not going to go there.
I was like, there's been a couple times where I've set up, like, really elaborate ambushes. Like, I'll put my sniper in the top of a tower, and everybody else will have, like, overlapping fields of fire under the tower for when they inevitably try to come and take him out. And they never get close because the sniper just kills them all before they get anywhere near him. Because they're like, oh my god, someone got sniped. Where's the sniper? And they're all, like, scrambling around and dying before they actually, oh, he's over there. Better, I like that. Like, your team is, like, four people, but if you end up in a map, there's not normally more than, like, 12 or 14 enemies. And as you start, like, my sniper now can get off, like, 2 shots per round, and they're, like, almost always headshots for the kill. So, like, it doesn't take long at that point to just eliminate the whole enemy team.
Right. Better pay that sniper whatever he wants to grab his tub.
my A1 team, I call it, but, like, the salary, like, he gets 50% of the salary. Like, the other three guys all add up to him.
And, you know, he's your Patrick Mahomes, so
that's right. You got to manage that salary cap.
Yeah. All right. Well, glad Jagged Alliance is working out for you.
Yeah.
Earl, did you play anything this week?
Yes, I did. I think we've all played mobile games before.
Yeah.
And they are just inundated with a ton of ads of nonsense that it's dumb as hell. So somebody was like, yeah, we're going to take those games and make them into an actual product. So I checked out, it was $10. I was really curious about it. A game on the Switch and Steam called Yeah, You Want Those Games, Right? So here you go. Now let's see you clear them. That's the full title.
That is the actual title.
Yes.
That is a mouthful.
That is a mouthful. But I mean, one of the reasons I was curious is it's a title, but if you see the logo, it's all over the place. It's just really colorful and gaudy. This is the best way I can put it is this is kind of like an NES remix of terrible mobile game ads. It has five games in it, and I'm sure I've seen at least three or four of these before. There's the one where it's like a bunch of test tubes and you're moving three different colored liquids from the different test tubes to make sure they're one solid color.
Mm-hmm.
There's the one with the parking garage where you're trying to navigate cars outside so they all get out and clear it. There's one where you collect money and then use that money to kind of create a bridge to walk over traps and stuff like that. What's the other two? Oh, there's one where it's not a dungeon crawler, but it's kind of like an attack game where it's like your number has to be higher than this person's number. And then there's a bunch of different variables. So you have to kind of get your number to defeat all the enemies on the map before it's over. And then that's four. What is the last one? Oh, the last one is you're trying to guide a person who can't attack from dogs and trolls or whatever. And you can drop rocks on them or the big guy can kick the dogs and stuff like that. And you do this by pulling pins. So again, if you've played mobile games, I mean, even if you still play them, you've either seen these or seen some variations of them. They don't have the one I see now, which is really funny, which is the king who gets drowned in sewage or sludge. They're always so depressing too, because they always get overrun at the end. But yes, they took those games and they broke them down into it's an NES type NES remix style challenges. So it's you go, and each one's a different stage, but you go and it's depending on your score, either time wise or score wise, you can get ranked from 1 to 3 stars and stuff like that. You compete those challenges, you'll knock more levels. And each level is just a variation and gets harder and harder. But it really scratches that itch of all of these things. I mean, honestly, most of them are 20, 30 seconds, if that. I mean, I think sometimes the high end of the skill is 15 seconds. So it's just you're thinking on your feet, go, go, go. And it's just scratching that part of my brain where it's oh, these are really fun. You don't have that time gate. It's actually it's not those games exactly. So it is kind of polished. The games actually work. It's just a really fun, stupid thing for $10 that I found myself. I think I've played through probably, it's not a long game, I imagine. I was looking it up while we were recording just to see if there's more games, but there's five games and I think 100 challenges between them or something like that, or 150, and I've probably done half of them by now. Again, if you've ever seen these, you always think it's the worst person in the world playing. But I was happy somebody did it and created a product around it that actually is fun. It's kind of really cheesy. It has really big, it kind of feels, and I say this in a good way, but also it's not as polished. It kind of feels like a Nintendo game. It kind of feels what NES remakes. It kind of feels like WarioWare, where it's you're not expected to, you're not going to sit here for 5 minutes on any single stage. You are kind of you take stock of what's on your screen and you just try to, you push buttons until you navigate around it. Sometimes I just miss the 3 stars and I'm like, oh, I got to do that again and get that final star, which is just okay, just knowing which buttons to press faster, or kind of know, doing the quick calculus to be this, if I do this and then take away this health and then, triple that, I'll have enough to take out this big enemy who's 1500 hit points at the end and stuff like that. Like I said, there's five games. I'm just kind of alternating between them because, again, not the most complicated games in the world. So I just do want to break up the monotony of here's a green liquid in this green tube and whatever. But I'm really enjoying it, and I do think it's, like I said, it's just scratching a really fun part of the brain right now.
Nice. Anything else this week?
I've been putting in more time with Exo Primal. Okay. I wanted to try out the okay. I think I forgot if we talked about this, but I played it with another friend this week. Mm-hmm. And he did a tutorial and everything, and then we played. And then it's just like that thing where it's like, why does the game not tell you what the characters do when you're picking them on the main menu? Why can I not know what the characters' attacks are on the main menu? I don't want to get into a game and figure out a character when it's always with randos, because then I feel like a jerk when it's like, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yep. Especially like if you pick, like, you're expecting like an assault class, or and like you get a guy with a sword.
Yes. Or like I picked the not the witch doctor, Skywave or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The hell yeah. And I was like, because, you know, it takes a while for your special to build up. You only get, like, one per match because of how long it takes.
Yes.
And I didn't know what it was. And I'm like, I didn't want to try it. So, like, near the end, I'm like, okay, I have it. It's almost over. And we try it. I'm like, oh, it freezes the dinosaurs in place. I could have done this much sooner when we had, like, 3 T-Rex on the screen.
Would have been helpful, like, yeah.
Yeah. But I didn't know what it did. And I didn't want to – you don't want to use it and waste it. But then you feel like, oh, this is a terrible failure because he didn't use it when we needed it. So I'm like, I didn't know. And again, like, you can see it in the game, and I learned that after the fact that you can press down on the D-pad. I think it will show you. But I'm like, why can't I, when you're on the main menu, when I'm checking out my rigs, when I'm customizing, why not have a thing like, okay, this is what your character does. Like, again, Skywave, they are a healer. It's very weird. That's a very feminine costume. I think her victory pose is like that, you know, like the woman stands with her back to it, and then she kind of has that. And I'm like, it's weird because these are technically not. These
it
are
can be a guy or a woman. In
yes, they're non-gendered suits. They should be in theory because they're suits. They're not people.
Yeah, they're just mech suits. They're not they're not gendered in any way.
But they are.
Yes, very much so.
But like, yeah, so they are a healer, and I'm like, okay, so like I'm doing a job healing, and I'm like, but I don't know if I'm actually doing any damage. And it's like, oh, your healing wand also does damage. It does not do a ton of damage. But I'm like, that would also have been nice to know. Like, I was trying it, but I'm like, I'm mostly going to focus on healing. Again, like, healers are never going to be attackers, but like, if I get surrounded, I want to have a way to defend myself. And then like trying to figure out like what her other attacks did. Like, they have like that healing barrier, which you shoot out and it heals people in front of you. I found out later on that it also blinds the enemies and does damage. And I'm like, that would have been great to know. Like, because I was like, I used it in between like the running. I'm like, oh, okay, you know, we finished the battle, just heal up. I'm like, oh, wait, this is dumb now. I should have been using this during battle. It heals them. And it also helps push back the enemies they may be fighting. So stuff like that, where I'm like, I wish the game told you that. Or like, because when you go to the tutorial, you play as 3 characters, but like each character you play a different part of them. Like, I think one is like shooting, one is like, oh, there's a tank, he has a shield, and the other one is like, oh yes, you can heal, but you can also like wrangle the dominator, you can control the dinosaur. I'm like, oh, but like, why? There is a tutorial not another tutorial training, but it's also kind of hitting on a different menu, but. The game itself still remains very fun. It's just very, very basic stuff it misses the boat on that I do not understand how.
I also played more Exo Primal. I finished the story.
Quote story.
Yeah, I mean, basically what happens is like every, you know, 5 or 6 matches you get a cutscene. Sometimes like the next mission or the final mission, and you're filling up a bar on your screen, and when you get towards the end, like, you'll either, after the mission's over, you'll get a cutscene, or that final mission will be like a boss mission. Those are pretty neat, like where you'll team up with 10 people against something. The final boss is like super duper anime nonsense. You're fighting like basically Voltron with 10 other people, and you're doing like area defense in three different spots all at the same time. So it's actually a really complex mission, and it's super fun. It's just like that's one mission out of, you have to play 60 missions or something like that to get there. And you'll get it again, like it'll randomly throw you in. If I were playing with URL and you got to that mission, like I could play that mission again. But it's like those are so few and far between most of the time. It is just those run from point to point and kill dinosaurs, which is fun. But
I'm also curious with that. I've not encountered any of them. But I mean, it's not the OU one that kind of turned into like a giant raid, right?
No. There's like five or six of them, different ones.
Okay, but what I was curious about is that how you start, or is it like the normal, like you do
it
these
doesn't
four or five?
Doesn't always start that way. Sometimes it'll like you'll start out and you'll do like two point to point things. And then you'll, like, Leviathan, who's the AI, will be, like, now warping you to a different location. And you warp to this, like, it's almost like that location that you start off in, the lobby, where there's no background. It's just, like, it looks like a virtual world. And it'll sometimes drop you in there. The final mission is, like, it's the final mission. Like, it is all, there's actually cutscenes in between. Certain ports, like, you know, if you get through phase one, there'll be like a cutscene and, you know, with the characters and stuff. But yeah, some of them are all start with like you just doing a regular mission. Like you wouldn't even know that that's what's coming. It's just like, oh, I'm two in and now Leviathan's warping me out to somewhere else. And now all 10 of us are standing in an area. And now we're fighting a gigantic purple T-Rex.
That is fair. That happens.
There was one that I thought that was really neat. I think when we played, there's this like high rise that we were we weren't defending the high rise, but like one of the area defense ones that we had was in that area. And there's like this really big high rise off on the side. And there's like some trucks and stuff out in front of like the area in front of that. There's a mission. It's a story mission, but it'll happen a couple times after you finish it. It'll open up a portal on top of that high rise and basically rain raptors down. So you just get this swarm of dinosaurs coming down the high rise. It's a really cool effect. Fighting the raptors is not any more difficult than normal. There's just a lot of them. But yeah, that is a... I think it's fun. I also... it is super flawed, like you said. Like, there's so many weird choices they made. Anything else, Earl?
I think that's what I've been playing. Yeah.
Jeff, you play anything else?
Let me tell you about this game called Diablo 4. Oh.
It's weird there's been four of those.
I think you've mentioned this game before. I feel like I've heard about it.
Yeah. At least once or twice.
Not really much to say, but yeah, we have been playing, we've been playing more of it. Everyone's post game. I think we were all post game last week, though. So,
yeah, I think you had just gotten them all out there.
Me and the wife pushing ahead, doing nightmare dungeons on tier 3 could be very tough. It's weird because you could craft nightmare dungeons and they have tiers. And we did a higher tier one, and dear lord, was that like impossible last night. Not only was it just like 8 million fucking things out trying to kill you, there was a thing that followed you through the whole dungeon floating above you and would just like throw down rays of death, like pools of death. And you couldn't, like, kill it. It was just like that was, like, a condition of the Nightmare Dungeon was this thing was going to follow you the whole time. So, like, literally as you're fighting the boss of the dungeon, there's just this floating fucking thing of death coming after you. But we made it through it. But yeah, still, like, really into that. Probably hear me say this every week for
quite a while.
Yeah. I think I'm only level 60 now. And so, yeah, it takes a while. I'm going to get to 100, though. I don't give a shit.
There, you did say it slows down after 50. Yeah. So.
But, you know, it's going a little faster now just because we are all in the post game. I really like kind of want to take my shot at the level. You have to do a level 70 dungeon to unlock World Tier 4.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm like, I'm 10 levels below that, but I kind of want to try.
So there is an achievement called Defeat Uber Lilith. I'm assuming that is you have to defeat Lilith on Tier 4. Do you know?
I don't know. Because, yeah, I guess you technically could play through a campaign again on World Tier 3, I would imagine. But I don't know if the campaign, I have, like, no desire to go back
right.
to the campaign. I just want to do dungeons. So, I don't know.
Right. Or, I mean, maybe Lilith shows up in the world or something.
Maybe she's the dungeon to unlock World Tier 4. I have no idea.
Yeah, it is a... very few people seem to have been, like, 1% people have beat her, so...
I guess if I was going to play the campaign again, I would do it on a higher level, especially if that was how you fight Uber Lilith, but I'll have to look into that.
Let me know.
Alright.
Tony, did you play... You've had a busy week, but did you play anything besides Jagged Alliance?
No, I haven't played anything since Sunday.
Okay.
So...
Real quick, last week I think I said I played through Tomb Raider. I have now played through Rise of the Tomb Raider again. Personally, I think that is a lesser game than Tomb Raider 2013. Still a good game, but there's...
I think it becomes like a shooter.
There's a lot of shooting. And they added in crafting. So, like, you're gathering materials all the time. At some point, like, you're just looting the materials off of people, but you have to craft your arrows, and you have to craft your special weapon, your special ammo and stuff. And then for whatever reason, where in the first one you would upgrade your bow, like you would get bow parts and you would upgrade your bow, or you get shotgun parts and you'd upgrade your shotgun. In this one, it's like you get parts and then it unlocks a new bow or a new shotgun. It's not an improved one. It is just a new one. And it could be better or worse in different ways. It's like, I didn't really like that, that adjustment there. The tombs are still super tiny in this one. I think they do improve that in the third one. I'll let you know.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
But there's not a lot of them either. There's not a lot in the first game either. There's 7 in the first game. There's 9 in this one. And this one just has these like big swaths of space, but there's not as many areas, I don't think, as there is in the first one. It's just like, we've given you this bigger area and you're going to return to it over and over again. Yeah. And the story is really dumb. you meet this immortal guy, and you meet this other person, Anna, who is evidently was your dad's girlfriend, but she's part of this organization called Trinity, which is like a group of mercenaries that have been around forever. It's like really dumb. The story's stupid in it. Yeah, it's still a good game. I mean, I played all the way through it, but I don't think it's as good as the first one. So we'll see what happens when I play Shadow. And one other game played, I started High on Life. You guys remember that one from last December?
Yeah, mm-hmm. I remember.
Where the guns talk to you.
Yes, the guns talk to you. One, that game has the worst opening. I almost did not make it through the tutorial area.
Oh, no.
It is really annoying. Like, your guns talk to you incessantly. And if you are not killing them quick enough, it's going like, well, like, it's just insulting you. Like, why aren't you shooting? Like, don't you know how to pull the trigger on a gun? And it'll say that line over and over and over again. It's like, no. It does calm down.
That's good.
At some point, it does calm down. It does think it's, and this could just be the. It was by the Rick and Morty people. That one guy has been tossed to the side. He's been let go from Squanch Games. And I don't think he wrote a lot of or any of this. He just did some voices for it. But the humor is like, it's like, oh, if I was 13 years old, maybe I think this is really funny. But
I just couldn't. I mean, I hear you, but that's kind of the only thing that's there to me. Like the I don't find the game to be very.
So the guns like it's not like early on. I don't think it was very good. Like as you're getting more guns, I think it does get better because those guns have special. Like there's ways to do some platforming with it. Like you get a shotgun that puts out this it's alternate fire sends out like a big blade, which you can throw into these certain walls, which will give you access to kind of platform around and reach higher levels. And there's some like neat stuff in there. It's the shooting isn't great. The humor is rough. It's not great. And then you do end up, they really like the jokes in this, and you'll end up going back to your house over and over again. And it forces you to engage with the story where it's like, you have to listen to your sister and this bounty hunter guy who is now squatting on your couch argue, and you have to listen to their argument and then pick who you want to side with. It's like, I don't want to. I just want to go to the next fucking mission. just play the game.
I remember this stuff. To me, it also just feels like an older game, if that makes any sense. It feels like something that would have been made in the PS2 era. Like it's bright and colorful. Like, it looks pretty great. Like,
I think you'll come across these like basically Care Bear type creatures that you have to keep rescuing. It's a running joke in the game, like where they keep this cartel keeps enslaving them, and so you keep going back and saving them. And then the next time you go back, they've been enslaved by a different member of the cartel because they're just incompetent. but they look like Care Bears, like live action Care Bears. Like it's actually like really neat looking. Like visually the game is good.
Yeah. Like the levels just feel like the design, it's just small, and it's like you go through this like level and they add some platforming shit and this and that, and then there's a boss at the end and he talks shit to you, and it's, I don't know.
So, and the bosses the bosses are all like, they are all like PS2 era bosses.
Like it just feels like that era of game, and I just couldn't get into it.
It's like, here's the pattern we're gonna do. Figure out the pattern, and then you can beat me. Like, I'm gonna do this same move over and over again. So, you fight Bowser in one of the 3D Marios, and like when he jumps down, like he sends that shockwave out, and like that's one of these bosses where it's like they'll jump, send the shockwave, jump, bounce around, and eventually they'll they'll bounce and hit their head and they're stunned, and that's when you can attack them. Yeah, it doesn't seem very long though, so I think I'll be able to finish it, but
you gotta watch all the movies, they put in there.
So I did find that there's a movie theater you can actually find as well. And you can go to this movie theater and sit down in it, and there's these three guys that are sitting in the front. Evidently they are part of Red Letter Media.
Yeah.
And they do commentary for the film.
What was the movie that was playing?
Blood Demon, I think is what it was called. It's like a film from 1990. There's four different films in it though.
Yeah, I know.
Tammy and the T-Rex keep showing up.
Yeah, the TV. Yeah, your house. It'll play. I think Demon Wind is in it.
Maybe that's what it was called. Demon Wind was the one that that I saw a little bit of. They made fun of that. They're like,
oh, that does have Blood Harvest.
Blood Harvest is one.
Blood Harvest, Demon Wind, Tammy and the T-Rex, and Vampire Hookers.
That's an awesome name.
They're all like kind of famous cult movies in a way. Like,
I've not ever seen Tammy and the T-Rex, but that has like actors you know in it.
Yeah, it's the guy from
Paul Walker's in it.
Yes, there we go. Even though he's a T-Rex, so you don't see him a ton.
I didn't realize that. I just saw I'm sitting there and you're talking to this bounty hunter guy who's now living on your couch, and he's watching this film, and while you're talking to him, like, the credits are rolling as the movie starts, and I'm like, Paul Walker, I may have to sit down and watch this. I didn't realize he was the T-Rex.
You see him, but he's like a high school, he's a boyfriend and stuff like that. It's not a bad movie, it's just really weird.
But
it's not a good movie. I meant
if you're into if you want to watch something
good, garbage, like a bad, yeah. Like a so bad it's funny. Yeah, I get that, and I could get behind that. Denise Richards is in it as well.
Yeah. Demon Wind is weird too. I don't think I've seen the other two though.
I think it's the constant, just like, we think we're funny, but it's like grating humor. I'm sure there are people that are like, this is really funny. Like, I genuinely think that this is amusing. It's just like this is a lot.
I think a less would have been more. Like, I think you could still do the crude humor, but it's just so, like you said, constantly fucking talking at you, and you're just like, dude, all right, you're not that funny.
No, it's like yeah, I think like, so I was just playing it, and I'm wandering around, so your actual home drops into this space city, and there's a couple funny jokes where, like, there's a parking meter guy, and he's outside your house at one point, and he's like putting tickets on your house. Like, there's a couple funny lines with that. That's like, you can't park your house here. It's like, this is illegally parked. But I was wandering around the city, and I come across, like, this guy calls me over. He's like, yo, come here. It's like, and I'm like looking around, and it's this little guy wearing a trench coat. And he's like, yo, I got something to sell you. And then he just, like, opens his fucking jacket. He's just wearing underwear underneath. And he has these vials, like, lining his trench coat. He's like, I sell alien cum. Just, like, that just came out of nowhere. I was like, what the fuck am I playing? Like, if you just drop that in there and, like, you don't have that humor hitting you all the time. Like, I think that is just so outlandish that, like, that would have landed a whole lot better than, every character's yelling at you.
The fact that it was the 19th joke about cum.
Yeah. It's like, this would be so dumb if it was just like this.
what you're saying just reminds, it feels like what it feels like somebody who made a game after Borderlands. And I mean, I think I forgot if I talked about it when I talked about Borderlands 3, but it's also like they did not realize what made it work. And it's like very, like, to Jeff's point, it's very like early late 2000s, early 2010s humor where it's like, oh, this shocking, gross. We're going to be that essentially what people think joggers are. humor, and that is the thing that Borderlands has stuck with, and it feels like a game that was designed very much in that mold of like, yes, this is what the kids find funny, right?
Yeah, yeah. The game even feels older than that. But you got Red Letter Media doing, you know, I like those guys, they're fun.
I don't care. I feel like they got old and cranky.
I like their Best of the Worst show, where like that, where it's kind of like them watching bad movies, and you get to see clips from the movies. It's like an easy way to like get a brief overview of those movies without actually watching them. Like you just get to see the funniest, stupid bits.
But yeah, that's high on life. I don't know. If you're like into like that over the top humor, I guess go for it. And we're gonna jump into some news here. Earl has laid some stuff out, but before we get to the tooth that Earl had there, before I forget, Disney Speedstorm season 3 kicks off August 1st. I think it's that next Tuesday. It is a Lilo and Stitch themed season. So, and I didn't know there's like a whole bunch of characters that I would have thought like Lilo and Stitch. That is who you're going to bring in. There's a bunch of other aliens. I don't remember who they are. But there you'd be able to get them, I guess. More interesting to me though is that you'll be able to get Minnie and Daisy for free. Like you have to participate in the event. Like they did one for Figment in I think in season 1, and in season 2 they did Steamboat Mickey and Steamboat Pete. So you'll be able to get Minnie and Daisy at some point in season 3 just by playing the game. So that game is a ton of fun, and I guess along with that, last week we talked about what Warner, right? Warner was doing, they're doing a kart racer.
Yeah.
And this week news dropped that DreamWorks is doing another kart racer, this time by the people who did the Nickelodeon kart racing game. So those Nickelodeon kart racers are competent.
the highest compliment. They work.
They're competent. They're decent enough. Like I think
that's gonna be in the back of the box.
Yeah,
decent enough.
I think the problem for me is like I just don't care about the characters they have. Like outside of the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, like I don't really know a lot of these characters in the. Yeah.
I always just play as Leonardo or whatever.
Yeah, like I mean, I know like what like SpongeBob is in there. I think SpongeBob shows up in it. But, like I don't really know SpongeBob. I mean, I know them, but I don't really like. So I just play as the turtles. Like I just don't have the affinity for Nickelodeon cartoons and TV shows that some people do. DreamWorks, I at least know. I mean, Shrek. I mean, DreamWorks they have a pretty good stable of shows, like you know, movies and stuff. Like Kung Fu Panda is DreamWorks.
How
to Train Your Dragon. Like I know those, right? Like so, I'll at least know these characters. And visually, like it looks a little bit better than those Nickelodeon games. So, but that's coming.
I mean, we might as well keep the party going because on that same note, we did get word that the best kept secret, like the original, that Nickelodeon is trying again with their Smash Brothers clone, Nickelodeon All-Star Brawl 2 is coming out.
It's the sequel?
Though, so far from what they've seen, I hate to be that guy. I'm like, I don't know why this isn't just DLC. Like they showed new characters, two new characters, and then like, oh, like the stages excite you better. But I'm like, nothing here so far screams like we needed a sequel in 2 years. Except that people probably forgot the game came out.
That is fair.
And they really, 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 really wanted you to know this time that they have voice clips. That was one of the bigger complaints with the original, is that like you had all these iconic characters and like none of them were speaking. I do think they eventually patched that in, but you know, you get, you know, one chance to make a first impression, and now people were like, it's just weird having like SpongeBob or the Ninja Turtles just not saying anything. Like Smash Brothers is just a bunch of grunts, but it's still something.
Yeah, but also, how many characters in Smash Brothers like
speak outside of?
Yeah, have distinctive voice lines. Like, I mean, some of them do. Like, but like Mario is not known for for much outside of "It's a me." Zelda, like, well, Zelda might talk, but Link doesn't talk. Samus rarely talks. It's like, yeah, like them, as long as you have the sound effects, which Smash Brothers does, it works. It's just, Nick has characters that are in cartoons and they talk all the time.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was so weird. But yeah, I think, I mean, really, that was all I saw them really talk about in the trailer. It's like, they didn't even talk about it. It's just like, oh, he's already talking. And I think Jimmy Neutron and Squidward are coming to the game.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, you know, we are, you mentioned like you don't have an affinity for Nick, but I remember that being a problem with their first game. It's like, I have an affinity for Nick, but it's a very specific era of Nick. And then Nick, you know, continued on after I grew up, as it does.
So yeah.
People have an affinity for, like, you know, SpongeBob is technically, I mean, maybe it's a 90s show. It started in 99, but it's a 2000 show. Started in 99, I would have been 14. Clearly in that age of like, oh, you know, but I'm way too old for cartoons. But hey, you know, that's this stuff like that, the Wild Thornberries, Invader Zim, Jimmy Neutron, Very Odd Parents from that era that people have an affinity for. Those people grew up. And then you have that era that starts after that. Like, those characters I don't really know as much. But, like, so it's one of those things where it's like they had to kind of balance it where it's like, Nintendo, you kind of grew up with their characters. You know, like, if you had an affinity for Mario, you kind of know Link and Samus and stuff like that. Where I think Nickelodeon was very much at even for, like, you has a the kids like me, born in the like mid-80s, who had, you know, Rugrats and Doug and, you know, Ren and Stimpy. Then you had the people later on. And it's like trying to balance that. It's like, they're like, oh, we got Squidward and Jimmy Neutron. I'm like, okay, those are characters, I guess. I don't. But like some other people are like, oh, man, they're doing the thing from that show. I'm like, okay, good for you. Good. And I don't mean it sarcastically. Good for you. I just do not understand it, so.
When did Nickelodeon purchase Garfield?
Oh, I don't know.
I see Garfield is included in this All-Star Brawl
2.
And they were also in Kart Racers 3. So, weird. All right, well. Did they give a date for that?
Oh, I didn't even pay attention. I assume sometime this year.
Okay.
Earl doesn't care. He doesn't care.
The DreamWorks one is coming in October.
I'm just here for the news. It doesn't mean I've invested in the news.
Fair enough. And Earl, what about these Mortal One combat characters?
So I forget when this dropped. It might have dropped right before we recorded last week or over the weekend. That probably during San Diego Comic-Con. They announced Mortal Kombat, and I mean, I guess Injustice also did it. It has its core cast, but they're also doing guest characters who they've had in the past. We've had a bunch of random ones, and they kind of announced the American Asshole Pack. That's what I'm calling it. I don't think that's what they named it, but it's Homelander from The Boys, it's Omni-Man from Invincible, it's Peacemaker, and it's like three other people I don't already know. And it's just like, none of these people. I mean, they scream Mortal Kombat, but like, yes, they are kind of a lot of, I mean, at best, anti-hero and like Peacemaker, but the rest, Omni-Man is Invincible's dad, who's just, spoilers if you haven't seen the show or read the comics, that's like 10 years old. He turns out to be kind of evil. He's actually came to Earth to save it, he came here, I believe, to scout it for his people and then save it. But he ended up falling in love and having a kid, and then he still turns his back on his kid. So, and Homelander, the wrong people take the wrong message from him. So let's go with that.
I mean, I don't know how you watch that show and come up
with you would be surprised.
I only watched season one, but I think I figured out what was going on.
You got the gist of who Homelander is, Jeff.
If that didn't help, I mean, he does date a Nazi in season two.
Yeah. Yes, straight up, he does.
And there's still people who are like, maybe we should name him. People are,
Ron DeSantis of superheroes.
No, he has personality.
Oh, as I said, there's no way they're topping their fucking roster from Mortal Kombat 11. Better off just getting Mortal Kombat 11. Fucking get to play as Terminator.
The other three characters are Ermac, Quan Chi, and Takata, Mortal Kombat characters. Yes.
And I think this is also the one that would include the Jean-Claude Van Damme as Johnny Cage skin.
Okay.
So that is cool too. But yeah, I do like that. I saw people complaining and I skipped over them. Like, you should. I mean, yes, I will say one legit gripe, completely fair. I think there's six people in this DLC, all dudes. I think almost all white dudes too. And people lamented might not have some female characters as guests or even female Mortal Kombat characters in here. But other than that, it's fun to just it's a nonsensical universe. Why not have some fun with these characters who don't have any bearing on the story, but it's still fun to play as. So.
Yeah. And Jeff's right. I mean, if you can get Mortal Kombat 11, it is always on sale too. Like, you get the Ultimate Edition, has all the DLC.
I was trying to tell you guys to get it. It was like fucking $8 or something. That's with, Terminator, RoboCop, Rambo. Like, it's just like, they're never going to make a better roster. Like, I think that roster actually beats Mortal Kombat 10 that had the horror movie characters. Like, because it's just like, I don't know, it just fits, dude. To have Terminator beating up RoboCop, it's just, I love it.
Yeah. I will just say, and I don't know if we've discussed it on him, it has like the franchise has like the most batshit insane lore. It's just like, I like that they have kept a loose continuity, but reading, Liu Kang defeats Time God and he becomes like a Fire Lord and he resets the universe. I'm like, okay, you do you. You do you. None of this makes sense, but you do you.
I don't see any other news here, so
there's One, I mean, that piece of news, and I didn't watch it yet, so I do apologize. But the Castlevania TV show is coming back. And the first trailer dropped today. I think that's on October. But again, like I said, I haven't watched the trailer yet to actually know what it looks like. So, but that is out there.
Castlevania Nocturne.
Sure.
It premieres September 28th. Yes.
Okay. Yes, and Nocturne just mirrors to Sonic, a very wet dream. But
I mean, it's been a decent year of video game adaptations out there. So
yeah, Gran Turismo is actually getting really good reviews too. Is that out? Is that next week or 2 weeks from now?
Let's see. Gran Turismo movie, August 8th.
Okay, so that's next. No, that's
two weeks?
August 8th. Oh, so that's a Tuesday?
Tuesday release. Weird.
Okay, that's why I was confused. But
we're getting weird releases though, because like Turtles comes out next Wednesday.
Does I've not even been paying it? Yeah, like I know it's August, out next week.
August 2nd. So
the movie?
Yeah.
I don't know why I thought it was out Friday.
No.
Haunted tomorrow? Mansion is this week.
The Turtles movie is getting pretty good reviews, it looked like.
Yeah, as I saw it was like 90 something, but again, so 30 reviews, it's early days, but like it is easy the highest rated Turtles movie to date, which I still
even with like a small amount of reviews, I'm surprised it's that high. I mean, it looks cool to me, especially the animation. Movies don't review great. Sorry.
But it is an animated film, right? I think like maybe I'm wrong, but I think the next highest might be the other animated movie that came out before the Michael Bay movies.
Yeah.
Other animated movie?
The TMNT movie from 2017.
And then there were Michael Bay movies after that?
Yes.
Wow.
Well, okay. They're not Michael Bay movies. He produces them.
That's everybody refers to him as the
Michael Bay movies. Yes. The Platinum Dune, I think, is his production company produces them. But they have the really, I don't know the nicest way to say not great looking turtles in them.
Yeah, I've never seen them, but I remember the trailers, them looking like fucking weird. Like,
I remember reviewing better. It is not on Rotten Tomatoes as having a very good
score. None of them, I don't think any of them have surpassed like a positive. I think the originals are like 30 or 40, because that's always my go-to whenever like that Twitter prompt or whatever comes up, like, what's the movie that you like that didn't score well? I'm like, yeah, none of the Ninja Turtles movies has over a 50% of Rotten Tomatoes. That I used to live action ones, the first two.
Well, it's funny because
really do adore.
The first one is looked back on fondly now. You know,
it was looked back fondly back then. It was just like, oh, this is made for kids, and you know that nonsense that people peddle. Like it's just but yeah, it's weird because it's a good movie. It's a good martial arts movie. Oh, I mean, it's an okay martial arts movie, but it understands the assignment.
I still could have fun with that first one, and this one, like, honestly, dude, like every time I see the trailer, I just love the animation so much that I'm like,
yeah, great.
I love the fact that they're actually making them kids, because I feel like, as much as I love it, like so much of Ninja Turtles, you kind of forget that they're supposed to be like 14, 15 year olds and not like mini adults.
Yeah, but that's one thing in the trailer. It's like they sound like really young. Like they don't even sound like teenage.
They sound like pre-pubescent Ninja Turtles, but it's still like nice that they're always aging them down a bit. It is weird sounding. I will grant you that though.
It gives them time to make sequels where they're still teenagers.
Yeah, apparently there's like a TV show and a sequel already in the works. We'll see. I feel like everybody announces like they're doing sequels until something comes out and bombs. So, not that I'm saying it's gonna bomb.
I wonder how it'll do. Do kids like Ninja Turtles now, or is that like just like our generation remembers the Ninja Turtles?
No, Ninja Turtles goes in waves, which is one of the better things they've done, because I don't think it did as well, but they had that show, 2 years ago? That just had the Netflix movie last summer, Rise of the Ninja Turtles. But like the 2012 one did really well in that. Like, basically, it's like a different generation of kids will have a fondness for Ninja Turtles. So they've always been able to kind of reinvent themselves for a new generation, which has worked in their favor. Yes, because like, my nephew, he's not into it as much anymore, okay. But he's like 10 and he has a fondness for them because of the show he grew up with.
So it's not just you watching the new shows, Earl. That's what you're saying.
It's not just, I'm actually in the process of watching the one from 2003. I've never seen that all the way through. And then I might do the 2012 one. I've seen bits and pieces of that, but that was again a time where I'm kind of biased. I tend to dislike at the time, like those CG cartoons.
Yeah.
And they've gotten better, but like at the time it was just like, oh, these always look so cheap and like this, but it was a good show. So, and then the 87 one's coming to Paramount Plus soon. They finally got the streaming rights for that.
Nice. I don't remember seeing this 2016 movie, the live action one.
The which one is that? That's
Out of the Shadows. It's the sequel to,
yeah, that's the one where they tried to make it like the cartoon. So they have Krang, the Technodromes in it, Bebop and Rocksteady, and I think I forget which is which, but one of them is played by Seamus, which is ironic because John Cena I think plays him now, and then the other one was played by Tyler Perry.
Huh.
And this was animated?
No, this is
the live action. It's the one with Megan Fox.
I'm going to do a deep dive on these Ninja Turtle movies, man. I got them all mixed up in my head. I've never seen anything beyond, like...
There are...
the first three.
Yeah.
There are six plus three movies. Because there's the three live-action ones, then they did an animated sequel, then there's the two Michael Bay-produced ones. Then there's Turtles Forever, which is a TV movie, which was a culmination of the 2003 series, which crossed over with the 1987 series. Then they did Rise of the Ninja Turtles TV movie last summer for Netflix. And then there was a Batman versus Ninja Turtles movie, which I do really adore, and I always recommend people checking that out. So,
yeah, I remember like hearing about that or seeing that and
being curious. I have that one. I wonder if I bought like some set that on of DC animated films. I wonder if it was included in that. Anyway. I'm gonna go see that new Ninja Turtles movie.
Yes, that is the longest shot. I will check it out too.
Yeah.
Well, Thinking about it.
I have my wife's cousin and my godson are 4. So I'm gonna take both of them. I think they'll enjoy it, so
I still need to find time to watch Oppenheimer.
You gotta take them to Pizza Hut after.
That's how it works. Speaking of Pizza Hut, my wife wanted Pizza Hut last week. I think we ended up on Saturday. She's like, she didn't want to cook, and so she was just like, I want some pizza. So she didn't want like the corner store pizza. She wanted Pizza Hut pizza for some reason. So we ordered
every from there. Time you need it, like once in a blue moon, like you need that fucking corporate fucking pizza.
Yeah.
And are you recovered?
Yeah, it was fine. But yeah, they have branded the boxes with like I had a Leonardo.
Oh, they're doing a tie-in.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah,
smart. But, they remember.
Yep, Leonardo is on the box of the pizza. I'm sure they have other ones too, but that was the one we got. Moe's like, do you want to keep the box? I'm like, it is covered in grease. This pizza is so fucking greasy. It is disgusting. No, this is trash.
Like 30 years from now, could have had $1 million.
I think that's one where, like, if you knew somebody at pizza and you really wanted it as a collectible for some reason,
one of the boxes.
Yeah.
You get an empty box.
Can I just have an empty box, man? like you can charge me for a pizza, I guess.
I'm sure you could literally walk in and be like, can I get one of those boxes? Yeah. And they will not give a fuck.
Like, oh, yeah. I think it's like, but like, most people who work those places don't care.
If I were working there and someone wanted one of like the pile of fucking 300 boxes I got sitting there, like, here you go, dude. Fucking have fun.
But then you got to put another box together.
I'll give them one of the fucking flat boxes.
Just get one that's not put together. Yeah. Here, figure it out yourself, man. all right. Well, I'll be back next week. Disney. Why am I now? I'm drawing a blank on Island. That we'll have that. We'll have more Pikmin, maybe some other stuff as well. Baldur's Gate 3. Tony will have that. That comes out Tuesday. No, Thursday.
The third.
Yeah. So Thursday. So Tony might get a little bit of time with it before we record.
I mean, I have the whole day off, so.
So you'll get a good chunk of time with it.
Yeah.
We'll be back with that, and then we'll be off the week after because I'm on vacation. So
woo,
you guys are free to record as always.
Yes, one of these days they're going to take you up on that, and you're going to be so surprised. Right.
We're totally going to do that.
Well, totally. in the effort that doesn't happen, I'm going to record Chris's Cart Corner for Disney Speedstorm. So.
Or we can have Jeff record his notes for his
I'll be sure to.
It is the
Elden Ring Hour. We'll call it Elden Ring Hour.
Put that
talk about Elden Ring for an hour straight.
We already had an Elden Ring year.
We talked about Elden Ring a lot last year.
We did. We brought it up a lot.
More than we needed to. All right. We'll be back next week. Jeff, say good night.
Good night.